This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Fishcake, CB, and JP. That's the foursome. Join us right now on the Maps for Us hotline. It's our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. The golf season's still in full swing. As we head to the best time of the year to play, Golfdom has you covered. To live the game in the fall with the best in apparel, clubs, shoes, and more, visit Golfdom in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
John, do you, wish you were up at Wingfoot?
Well, yes and no, Jason. If this was a normal U.S. Open with normal media access, of course I'd want to be there. But I could have been there. And but I didn't, I have no desire to go to a golf tournament where you can't talk to the players except over Zoom. I can get on Zoom here and talk to the players from my house the same as I can talk to them from the media center, and I don't have to sleep in a hotel room or deal with all the hassles. The way I cover really all sports at this point in my life is by talking to guys. In golf, in the locker room, on the range, on the putting green, whatever. Can't do that right now. I understand why I can't do that right now. I'm not complaining that they have to do this, but there's no point really in me making the effort to go there and then sit in the media center all day and do Zoom interviews.
Yeah. Obviously, I assume that you are bummed from last night, from your Islanders losing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously, when the goal went in, I did stay up. I was disappointed, and I am disappointed because they had a legit chance to take it to seven games. But I also feel. I remember 100 years ago, my 4 years at Duke. Duke finished last or tied for last in the ACC. The year after I graduated, they went to the national championship game. And the day after the championship game, I asked Terry Sanford, who was the president of the school at the time, how disappointed he was about losing that game. He said, "I'm not disappointed. I'm high on competing." And I feel pretty much the same way about the Islanders. It had been 27 years since they got this far. And they played, they had to play game one less than 48 hours after they won game seven against Philly. They had to fly from Toronto to Edmonton, go through all the protocols, and they lost that first game 8-2. That was, it was like they, Tampa Bay was given a 1-0 lead by the schedule. And I'm not complaining. The Islanders should have won in 5 or 6 against Philly, but they still came back. Every game afterwards was competitive. Tampa Bay won one game with a goal with 8 seconds left. Two others went overtime. So I walk away feeling high on competing. They need to get a sniper, a 30-40 goal scorer, which they don't have. And we'll see what happens next year. But, yeah, disappointing, but still it was fun to watch him compete.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least you got to watch him all the way through that. Yeah. We had Coach Laviolette on, I don't know, what was that, Tuesday or Wednesday.
So. Yeah.
Very engaging. And, he's been a winner wherever he's been. He's been to three cup finals. He's won one. He's usually very he's very successful in the first two or three years of wherever he is, whatever city he's in. So what your
on
thoughts
paper,
on
it looks like a good hire.
And he coached John's Islanders back in the day.
Terrific hire. Yeah. He also did a very good job with the Islanders, which people don't notice because he didn't have any players. They were terrible. That was during the time when they were being mismanaged by ownership. And he's just a very good coach. You're right. I mean, he's taken three different teams to Stanley Cup Finals, won the one in Carolina. He's not old. He's 55 and has a lot of experience. I think they did as well as you could have hoped them to, for them to do in making this hire. And I also think he's a good coach for a veteran team. You know, younger players might kind of cringe because he's an in-your-face kind of guy if you screw up. But older guys aren't going to be bothered by that. They're going to understand this is the way we get better. And I would guess his message would be, look, fellas, whatever you were doing the last 2 years, it didn't work. So let's try it my way. And it's a little bit like the Barry Trotz hiring in that it's a guy with experience and with a track record. The only difference is his track record's better than Trotz's was.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Talking to best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, when you wrote your Ravens book, what did you find when it came to the importance of coaching, not only from the head coach but coordinator? Because when we were talking about the Washington football team, you can notice the difference in adjustments being made and things like that now that they have Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio.
Well, the thing you have to understand, and I know you guys do, about football is the head coach – More often than not, is like a CEO. Mm-hmm. He doesn't sit in most of the time, at least with the Ravens. Billick didn't sit in when they were game planning on offense and defense. You know, most of the calls were made from the press box by the coordinators. I think that's the way it is in most places. There are times, as you guys know, when a head coach will take over and be the offensive coordinator, usually offensive, not defensive, but that'll happen if a team is struggling. Billick at one point did take over as the offensive coordinator later, after I'd done the book, for the Ravens. And, the staff is vitally important at every level, the relationship between the quarterback coach and the quarterbacks, because they spend a lot of time in that room, in the quarterback's room. Again, just the quarterback coach, not the coordinator. So pick one of the most important jobs of a head coach, pro and college, is picking your staff. And Rivera obviously has a lot of experience. He had success in Carolina. And my guess is, and I'm guessing, is he knows what he's doing when it comes to picking a staff.
Were you impressed by the win? I mean, I know you
Well, of course you're impressed by the win.
I know it doesn't please
because,
you.
You know, especially coming from 17-0 down. Yeah. What I will say, and we'll see if I'm making any sense here this weekend and as the season progresses, is in a way it was a perfect setup. Not the 17-0 deficit, but Philadelphia's weakness right now is their offensive line because they're very banged up. Right. Washington's strength is their defensive line. Right. And you saw that, especially as the second half evolved and Wentz was running for his life constantly. They're not going to sack Kyler Murray 8 times. Nope. A, because I think their offensive line is a little bit better, but B, because he's Kyler Murray. Wentz is not a mobile quarterback. The game played to their strength. And once they got their feet under them and Haskins started to play a little bit better, they scored 27 straight points and won the game going away. So was I surprised? Sure. I think anybody who says they weren't surprised is lying. But hindsight being 20/20, you look back and you can see how it happened.
Makes sense. But I think, as JP pointed out, Kyler was sacked 48 times last year. So, I mean, he
was also a rookie with a bad offensive line. He's more mobile than Carson Wentz. You're more mobile than Carson Wentz.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Well, it's close.
I wish.
I know you'd always run to your right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, I know he'd get rid of the ball quicker when he's pounders coming at him.
The Washington football team should run to the right, too, because the left side is a little bit leaky on that offensive line.
Well, that wasn't a reference to the physicality of the left or right side.
We're just going to let it go. We're just going to let it go. All right, so let me see. We touched on Washington.
I want to get his take on the Big Ten and then you know, the Pac-12. I don't know. Eric, you want to go first?
No, go ahead. Okay. I want to hear that.
So we touched on it over New Week. Of course, the Big Ten announced on August 11th that they were canceling. Now, the criticism was there that they should have waited a little bit longer, like the other conferences did. They rushed to judgment. This new testing protocol came about, and the other conferences started to play, and the Big Ten was sitting out there looking stupid. And so now they've decided they want to come back. All right, now they have to be all in. They can't announce that they're stopping now. Then they'll just, it could implode. They've lost some kids. The parents are pissed off. Those coaches were obviously very vocal about it. I would expect the Pac-12 to fall in line. Your thoughts on the Big Ten and their decision?
Well, first of all, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you guys saw this morning that two key Ohio State players who had opted out with no games to play and left school are now opting back in. So apparently they could miss however many classes they missed while they'd left school to prepare for the NFL draft.
And they're eligible.
It won't affect their status as, quote, student-athletes.
Right, of course.
But to the larger issues, maybe they were premature. I think in all of this, it's hard for any of us to sit in judgment of those who decide to play or those who decide not to play, because so much of this is unknown. Now, on the one hand, Jason, you say, well, the other schools are playing. Well, NC State already had to postpone a game. Virginia Tech was postponed this week. UNC's game this weekend against Coastal Carolina.
Charlotte,
Now, not Coastal Carolina.
Charlotte,
Charlotte, thank you, is postponed. Army BYU is postponed. So it's not like things are just sailing along perfectly. There are still COVID-19 issues everywhere. They say now they have the means to test every day. Good. I'm glad. Although Barry Svrluga pointed out, it's great that every football player gets tested every day, but guys majoring in chemistry are pretty much on their own. But we all know that's a fact of life.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
That's a fact of life. What bothers me is all this talk about how, well, we've come up with these miraculous new protocols, and we know we can keep the players safe. No, they don't. What they figured out was they didn't want to lose the television money. They started looking around at how much money this was going to cost them to not get the TV dollars.
Yeah, but they already knew the money.
The college football playoff.
They knew that going in.
Well, but after 5 weeks, it was a 5 week gap. They figured out, well, we probably better play because the ACC's getting its money, the SEC's getting its money, the Big 12, even though they may never win a game, is getting its money, and said, okay, we're in. You know, they were under a lot of pressure, particularly the pressure, I think, from the players and the parents and alum, no doubt boosters. But I think just say, look, we want the money. We think we can protect our players. We hope we can protect our players. Don't act like you found a miracle cure because they haven't. And say, you know, show me the money, because that's what this is all about. In for everybody, that's the reason people are trying to play, not because they want to give their quote unquote student athletes the opportunity to play football. It's because they want the money. And look, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We're all trying to make money.
Right.
And sports in general.
The fact is, if they didn't play, they might not have field hockey or swimming a year from now.
Yeah.
Damn,
I mean,
right.
That's sports
damn
in general. Right. It's about the money.
That's best-selling author.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
But say that. Don't come out with all these high, you know, I mean, every time, the only time you know a college president or a commissioner is lying is when their lips are moving. Simple as that. I just have real problems with these people. I have no problem with the idea of trying to play football. I will look forward to seeing the Big Ten play. I was glad to be able to watch Army play the last 2 weeks. I'm disappointed they're not playing this week. I'm glad Navy's playing this week. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. We're still in the midst of a crisis. People are still dying every day. It's a very, very difficult situation. And that's why I say, I'm not going to criticize those who aren't playing, and I'm not going to criticize those who are playing.
John, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Yep. That's best-selling author John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom's second major sale is going on now. That's right. The U.S. Open's here, and Golfdom is celebrating through Monday. Go to golfdomgolf.com for details. Golfdom, live the game. All right, coming up next, we're going to get back to the Washington football team. It's a football Friday. We got to crush this thing. The Washington football team has a chance to get to 2-0.
Let me hear the music, Valdez. Find it.
800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up next, we'll tell you the level of disrespect for this Washington football team that remains, EB. One analyst has completely disrespected the Washington football team and predicts that they'll be embarrassed.
They'll be
embarrassed? We'll talk about that next and take your calls next here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Mike Rizzo is going to join us, the GM of the Washington Nationals. Then at 9:40, Stucky is going to join us. Not Bucky, Stucky, who's a sports betting analyst for the Action Network. I think he was a financial guy. And then he figured, why am I betting on the stocks when I can just bet on games?
Right.
Well, it's definitely more fun.
Both are dicey ways.
It might not be as profitable, but it's definitely more fun.
Both are gambling, too, by the way. You think the stock market is a massive gamble? They're both gambling.
Well, over time, I don't think it is. If you start buying individual stocks, then it's definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
So we've been talking about the matchup here between the Washington football team and the Arizona Cardinals throughout the morning here on a Football Friday. Believe the line is like 6.5, 7. Is that what it's at?
I saw 7. That's what I
see.
Saw
let's
morning.
See. On my side, it's 7. It's 7 right now. Yeah.
Right. So the Cardinals are pretty big favorites. Both teams, of course, won in week one. I guess everybody believes that Arizona was more impressive, and they're buying more into Kyler Murray and what the Cardinals are doing than what the Washington football team was able to accomplish, getting 8 sacks and picking off Carson Wentz twice. In fact, there's an analyst for Bleacher Report, Adam Lefko.
What are his bona fides?
Completely is disrespecting the Washington football team. Here's what he says about the Cardinals and the matchup with the Washington football team.
I said this before the year, that I think that the Cardinals could start off 4-0, 5-0. Because if they can beat the Niners, these next few weeks, cake. I think that Kyler Murray will be the leading MVP vote getter at the quarter poll. People are going to say, who's the MVP quarter way through the year? I'm going to say it's Kyler Murray. When you look at the Cardinals' schedule, they beat the Niners. They play Washington. Telling you right now, they're going to beat them by 30. Dwayne Haskins is going to look like dog shouldn't have cursed is a good clip out. Then they play the Lions, totally winnable, at the Panthers. They're going to be 4-0. And Kyler Murray at the quarter poll, people are going to be, just like I said before the year, oh, second year Mahomes won MVP. Oh, second year Lamar Jackson won MVP. Kyler Murray will be the leading MVP vote getter at the quarter poll. Book it.
All right,
man,
I take
totally
that.
Not sure about that.
Haskins.
And they're definitely not beating us by 30. Sorry. Yeah. Now you pissed me off.
30 points. You want to talk about disrespect?
Man, you're not beating us by 30.
Well, first of all, he's forgotten about two other pretty good quarterbacks who have MVPs, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, so, I'll take all the bets that he
But let me just say
there.
This.
Or Russell Wilson.
He does have a good point about the schedule. Not saying that they're, you know, going to roll off four in a row, but Washington, Detroit at home, and then at Carolina at the Jets. Clearly, they are certainly better than most of those teams.
Okay, but forget
we'll
about Arizona. Forget about that part. Let's talk about this game. And if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, he's saying that Washington could lose by 30 points. Can you see it being that bad of a performance by the Washington football team in week two?
Haskins
could
look like dog
Right.
I think there's a 10 to 15% chance it could be a blowout. I don't think I think it's within the range of outcomes.
He's exaggerating a bit. I mean, come on.
If Kyler still has that connection with DeAndre Hopkins and takes advantage of skin secondary, that is Kendall Fuller going to play? I mean, they need all hands on deck.
I think he
this
is.
Weekend. If he goes nuclear again and catches 12 or 15 balls for $150 and finds the end zone once or twice, then it's within the range of outcomes for a blowout. I don't think it's going to happen, but there is potential for it.
I don't see it. I think the defense is too good. I know Hopkins is great, but
the defense
was very good
against a stationary object in Carson Wentz. This is a different animal they're facing.
It wasn't good early in that game, so the Eagles figured something out early.
Right.
The Washington football team was able to make some adjustments. They grabbed the 17-0 lead, and it looked early in the game. It looked like Carson Wentz was going to have a typical Wentz game versus the Washington football team, throwing for over 300 yards and three touchdowns when he carved him up last year. And it changed because the defensive front did get to him. But as we said earlier, Arizona's offense is a little bit different. You've got Kyler in the shotgun every down. He's not under center. He obviously can move a lot better than Carson Wentz. I don't know.
Well, the Eagles really hurt them in the first half because they got two really good tight ends. Mm-hmm. And that's what Wentz went to. And they hit the big completion down to Rager. The sideline. But they've got two really good tight ends. Tight ends have historically just killed the Skins. But like you said, they made adjustments and they shut them down.
Dan Arnold. I don't know anything about Dan Arnold.
Yeah, I mean,
Arnold.
Look, they don't have a Zach Ertz or a Dallas Goedert, but they got to Wentz. I mean, it was the pass rush that really affected them. And again, we've been saying if they can contain Murray and keep him in the pocket, that's a big deal. If they let him bounce, he's going to cause problems.
They may not have great tight ends, but they have DeAndre Hopkins, who's a super stud. I'd rather have him than Goddard and or Ertz, or both.
The only way I could see that happening is if the Cardinals go no huddle or sugar huddle, and they neutralize the substitution that the Redskins can do on their defensive line.
Well, you know they're going to play fast, and the Washington football team is going
to
play fast too.
If they're, I mean, the big thing is that they're able to keep that line fresh, rotate guys in and out.
The question is, do you want to get involved in a shootout with a team that's better at it than you are?
No, of course not.
This team is not equipped to win a shootout. We all know that. But I think because of their defense, they don't need to.
Remember how you said last Sunday you woke up at 5 a.m. and you just couldn't wait?
Yeah,
and you just laid in bed. You're going to be waiting all day for 4:05.
It's going to be a long wait.
The problem is that
sucks.
WFT plays at a pace that is conducive to shootouts if they're going to run 70-plus plays like they did against the Eagles.
Well, I don't think they're equipped to win them. I don't think they're equipped to win shootouts.
Well, I think you've got a shootout brewing in the desert, which could be a problem.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Washington football fans, you got a team that's 1-0. Do you feel disrespected that an analyst from Bleacher Report, who does a podcast with Chris Sims, thinks that the Washington football team is going to get blown out by 30?
Here's the thing. I'm taking it more as this guy's got some weird fetish for Kyler than it is a total shot at Washington.
Although he did club Haskins,
but that's fine. Haskins hasn't really proven anything yet. But I think, you know, he thinks they're going to start out like 4-0. I mean, you know, who else do they have?
Detroit. They have the Panthers,
and the
marshmallow
and the
soft
Panthers.
Defense.
Yep.
Okay. And the Jets.
All right.
So that's maybe a pretty good recipe for success.
Maybe he's right. All right, let's go.
I mean,
to
on paper, on paper, it doesn't look like they're tough, but you know, again, I mean, teams can lose any week.
Sure,
better teams
right.
lose to worse team, inferior teams all the time.
Right,
happens all the time.
I just don't think he's going to be the MVP at the quarter pole. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep,
sure.
I got to be honest. I'm pretty nervous about this weekend. This smells like an emotional hedge for me personally. If I do throw any action, it'll probably be on over 19.5 for the Redskins. But if you look at their number 2 and 3 options at the wide receiver position, one of them is a Hall of Famer, and the other one is Christian Kirk. And not to mention DeAndre Hopkins, we don't have the personnel to match up with them in space at all. So, you know, if we don't get off to a good start, I think it could be a long day for us, you know. Honestly, I kind of feel like we're a little bit with house money because we weren't really expecting to win the last game. So if we can make it through these two games at 500 and competitive in this game, then I guess we're still moving in the right direction. But as far as matchups are concerned, I mean, this is a nightmare for us, legitimately. And is Kendall Fuller playing this week?
I think he is. I don't know. But
we haven't heard yet.
Even if he is playing, he's not 100%. I mean, he's still got Darby back there, and Apke's still taking wrong angles. I mean, this is... We got a legitimate test in front of us because we have a moving quarterback, we have guys that can move in space, and they have a legitimate defensive pass rush. So, yeah, my expectations are not high. I just hope to remain competitive, and it's looking like an emotional hedge for me. Thank you, Mo.
The only guy they have on their injury report is Cole Holcomb, who's questionable.
Okay.
Kendall Fuller, I'm taking that to mean he's a go. I'll tell you what an X factor is. I doubt they do it. But I wonder if they suit up the rookie that they signed, Jeff Gaudette, that runs a 4.2. Because they obviously are looking for some help at receiver. They brought in all these guys, and I don't think they want help just, you know, to make practice more exciting. I think they want some help during the games. So I'm gonna look for that and see if they don't activate him. I think it would be unusual if they activate him that quick.
That'd be a quick turnaround.
But I'm just curious. I'll be real curious to see what they
Jeff
do.
Jeff Gaudette.
Yep. All right, let's go to Ed in Bladensburg. Ed, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good morning. Hey,
so I'm about to go off on this guy. How pathetic can you be of a stupid podcaster and just say that the Washington football team, okay, is going to get beat by 30? Does he have Alzheimer's? Did he forget the way that this defense is played? Our cornerback does not have to hold up for 8 seconds because of the D-line healthy that we have. I understand that Kyler Murray is a mobile quarterback, but if you can get into his face, if you can push his offensive line back into him, he ain't going to be able to do too much when his own offensive line is going to knock him down. Come on, seriously? People just like to find a reason to be so pathetic on TV or over the phone or even on the radio and talk negative about the Redskins, even if they are moving in a positive direction. It's so sad. It's like a little brother and a big brother.
You're right. Very bitter.
Yeah, take very offense
upset.
To it.
IJS.
Yeah. Well, no, it's all right. It's still early. Still care till we get, you know, mathematically eliminated cakes. We still care.
Sure. He's passionate, no
I
doubt about it.
But again, I think that this guy, this podcaster from Bleacher, I mean, he's just over-exaggerating the 30. I think his point is it's not going to be close. I just don't know if he actually thinks it's going to be a 30-point game.
Well, but I mean, I think he thinks, yeah, they're going to win convincingly.
Handily, yes.
It's
yes.
hyperbole, but he just sees them as like, this.
Not a problem.
Varsity against JV.
Basically. Speed bump. He thinks
Arizona's the superior team, and he's a huge Kyler Murray believer. And as I said before, look, after week one, Kyler Murray is up there in terms of performances and QBR with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. So that's how good he played in week one, not only throwing the football and hooking up with Hopkins almost 15 times, also running the ball for a touchdown in 91 yards. So he's a big believer in Murray, and he's not a believer in Dwayne Haskins and the Washington football team.
Well, that dude is just taking EB's stats and turning it on its head, the whole – Well, they're the Cardinals. He's doing well. That's the Washington football team,
right?
Yeah,
when he sees
fine.
Them on the schedule.
I think it's fine. It's just, you know, it's a little annoying. He thinks they're going to win by 30, but I don't know. I said at the beginning, and I maintain it. I think the defense will play well. I mean, Hopkins will get his, But I think it's all going to come down the offensive line. If the offensive line creates some time, I think that we'll be able to hang in there. Maybe we can steal it.
Telling you right now, they're going to beat them by 30.
800-636-1067 is the number.
All right, let's go to Reggie in D.C. Hey, Reggie.
What's going on, fella?
Hey, what's up, Reg?
Look at me.
Man, I remember y'all had this segment, man. I think it was back in the summer. And y'all was saying, man, and I think it was a real debate on Chase Young versus Tua. And I said, man, when I called in, this dude, Chase Young, is going to be an impact like Bosa was in San Francisco. You see his game yesterday, I mean, on Sunday. Man, he had a – and look, one of the plays, he got called back because Ionitis was a line on the ice or whatever.
Yeah.
But Jeff Merrill, this dude is going to be a problem week in and week out that's going to allow your Kerrigan. I even see Ryan Anderson get some little pressure. And then your inside. And as long as you have a pass rush, you are going to be in every game. Now, our offense, this, the one thing that kills me with the offense, I get what happens. But damn it, Darius Geis, man, would have been perfect for what's going on right now because we have no running back. Dwayne Haskins, man, is so inaccurate that even some of, you know, you look at some of like some of the basic throws. So the only thing that worries me is just our ability on offense, and you can't bank on our defense to give us that many short fields like they did in Philly. But to say that we will lose by 30 points, now that's ridiculous. But I'm excited about this team. And it's funny because everybody was making excuses about Philly's injury. But how many times has, like, somebody came in that's injured that killed us? Like, they had a backup quarterback.
Many times.
Or, you know, a backup running back, a backup whatever, and they came in and crushed us. So when we take advantage of somebody, all of a sudden now everybody wants to minimize that. This boy over there, Chase Young.
Reggie, you're fired up. There's no doubt about it, and you got a reason to be fired up. And you feel disrespected by Adam Lefko, who says the Cardinals are going to win by 30.
I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard that person's name. I mean, Adam
Lefko. I think I've heard of him, but he's actually got a deal with TNT.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Wasn't there a kind of a cheesy commercial with Matthew Lesko or
EB's neighbor?
The guy lives in my neighborhood.
Is it Lesko or is it Lesko?
Yeah, Lesko.
Question mark guy.
Matthew Lesko, right?
He runs around here and he wears the tights with the question marks.
Does he?
Yeah. Figure out how the government can pay you.
Exactly. That's right. I wish. All right, phone number if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies on a Football Friday. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Just a heads up, you can listen to the best pregame show in the business on 106.7 The Fan at 11 o'clock this Sunday.
Well, that's
you really ready for the game.
That's a pre-game on 106.7 The Fan because I believe the kick is at 4:05 from Glendale, Arizona.
Yes. But you can listen to me and Logan Paulson at 11 o'clock till 12:30, and then you've got, I think it may be a doubleheader for the Nationals on Sunday. So you'll be able to listen to your Nationals coverage. Speaking of the Nationals, we will be joined by Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock. Right now, though, we're going to switch gears, open up the entertainment page. Entertainment page brought to you by Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome, super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter the code JUNKIES. You get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Guys. I know Cake saw it. I'm not sure if Jason did, but did you watch the show on Netflix, Cheer?
No, I never watched
it. Yes, I did.
What is it, like the community college cheerleading team?
Cakes loved it.
It was good.
It's good. You're Jonan.
Yeah.
Jason, but it's interesting.
I saw it. It was interesting.
You guys said it was. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. I just don't have any interest.
Well, you might be surprised.
Yeah, I didn't think I would either.
Well,
but,
and then now that I hear what happened to the lead guy, maybe I should watch it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I jumped in about halfway through as my kids were watching it, and I couldn't believe how sort of engrossed I got. But one of the guys, Jerry Harris, you know, just the other day they said he was propositioning some twins or somehow. I don't know if it was like via direct message or something. And now they've charged him with federal child pornography charges.
That's just brutal.
That's not good.
So it's not good. They accuse him of requesting nude photographs and videos from several minors and repeatedly soliciting oral sex at cheerleading competitions.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of these, correct me if I'm wrong, Cakes, what I gathered from the show is a lot of these kids were great athletes, great gymnasts or whatever, but they kind of came from troubled backgrounds, right? Wasn't that kind of the theme?
Yeah, a portion of them. Not all, but I mean, this is a great program in somewhere in Texas. I can't remember the town. But, yeah, some of the kids come from rough backgrounds or, you know, like they didn't grow up in, you know, like a traditional household, and they've been some of them have been in foster care. You know, it attracted some of those kids to that spot. So, and I guess he was one of those kids.
So one of the majority of the complaint, they say, focus on a boy they identify as minor one. He told investigators that Harris first contacted him on Instagram, on IG, Cakes, adding that he immediately told Harris he was 13 years old. Harris then asked for face and booty pics. and then between December of 2018 and March of 2020, this is why you got to keep an eye on what your kids are doing, the minor said he sent Harris over a dozen photographs and videos, including images of body parts. Harris allegedly sent nude photos and videos of himself hooking himself.
How old is Harris?
He's got to be 18 or 20.
He's 21.
Yeah.
So he was 21, allegedly engaging in these things with a 13-year-old.
Right.
Correct. He said he...
I only hesitate to buy into these things. Usually I do buy into complaints, arrest complaints, because I watched Outcry, you know?
Right.
Yeah. God, I love that show. I can't even remember. He was
Outcry,
acquitted,
though, was like a...
But there was still a little bit like, you don't really know what happened, right?
Well...
I think you do.
The show made you think that it was the other guy.
Yeah,
That the kid mistakenly identified
his buddy,
the football player, as the molester, and it was the other guy.
Yeah.
At least that's what it seemed like.
They did look alike in those photos back in the day.
Great show.
Yeah. The kid also
said,
I
believe that kid walked on at University of Texas.
Yeah, what's happened with that? Because of COVID, it's all kind of messed up. But he does have a spot, we think.
I mean, I haven't looked at the roster. I have to look at their roster.
And how old is he now? Like 24 or something? I mean, he's got to be pretty old.
Yeah, for a college football player, he's old.
Yeah.
Not for the junkies.
No. We actually did an interview on Time and Room. We got a new one we're taping today, but just as a quick little plug, where we interviewed a kid, Jimmy Perkins, who is going into his seventh year as a D1 athlete because he basically had two medical red shirts.
I hope he's graduated in those 7 years.
Well, how about this? He did two medical red shirts, then he did 2 years of playing, so that was 4 years at Robert Morris. Then he transferred because he's into real estate, and he thought Vegas is a great commercial real estate market. He played 2 years at Utah, but then the season last year was cut short, so he got that other year of eligibility. So he already got his master's there in commercial real estate, so now he's coming back to Robert Morris to play his seventh year, and he's getting an MBA in 1 year.
Huh.
So in 7 years, he's going to have a master's, an MBA, and his bachelor's.
He's in college longer than Tommy Horsey.
Yeah, but who would do it?
About the same amount of time, Cakes.
But isn't that a great story, Cakes?
It's a great story.
There's two guys this year, actually, in lacrosse that are playing their seventh year that are in the same situation. I can't remember who the other kid is. But that's what's happened when they've given these kids extra years because of COVID.
But anyway, as pertaining to the kid from Cheer, it's a terrible story if it's true.
Yeah, he's going to jail.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is
they're going to have fun with him.
I think you can, like, I think an alcoholic can reform. I think, you know, a drug addict can reform. I'm not sure pedophiles and those guys, I'm not sure that that's fixable. I really don't know that it is, right? I don't – I'm.
Usually there's a mental defect.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, it seems like they're wired in a certain way that you just can't fix that, you know. So, I don't, you know. So maybe he has to go away forever. It's sad. Was he, Cakes, was he likable on the show?
Very likable.
He was.
Like, he was one of probably the most likable characters on the entire show.
That's why it's so shocking, is because this guy, he's not like the most gifted athletic person, but he was very positive and cheered everyone on, and everyone on the team liked him.
Right, right. Ah, that's brutal.
Well, Jared from Subway was likable, too.
Yeah, he was.
So you found out what kind of person he was.
How much longer on his bid? I have to look him up now.
I'm
Jared
not sure
Fogle.
Much longer, maybe 4 or 5 years, but he's going to get out.
Time just flies. Time just goes by so quick.
Yeah.
Although, Forrest, did you say at the time, Eric, you always remember, recall like talking to him about like maybe it was the Pam Anderson sex tape or something.
We brought
like
up
that.
One of those tapes, and he, like, maybe I think it might have been the Kardashian tape. And his eyes lit up. All of a sudden, you saw, like, because you don't think of Jared the Subway guy as like a sexual being. You just look at like
the guy
big,
who likes turkey subs.
Yeah, you look like a big, you know, ex big fat guy. Right. And then all of a sudden, he lit up and got real horny. And I was like, whoa, he got really weird. And he like winked at us. He's like, no, I've never seen that, you know. And I was like, whoa.
Right.
Looks like he has the potential to be released around 2028.
Oh, so he's got 8 more years?
He still has some hard times.
That's going to be 8 long years.
Somebody sent me the link, because we were talking about it, I guess, when Scott Peterson, they overturned his death penalty sentence.
Right.
Somebody told me then, I think the series has been out for a year or two, but there's like an A&E maybe documentary on the Peterson case. And he told me he watched it. And now he thinks he might be innocent.
Oh, really? Oh, my
gosh. Why?
I don't know. I haven't watched it, but now I got to watch it.
I botched it slightly,
why,
by the way.
He Jared lied Fogle, about everything.
Jared Fogle's earliest possible release date, July 2029.
Oh, no, 29.
Yeah.
And they can't let him go at the first crack.
There's no
at
chance
it, right?
Scott Peterson's innocent.
Eric, well, I told you guys that there's a lot of people who think that, because there was something like there was another serial killer around that time, and they were finding bodies in lakes.
Right, but wasn't he...
Was
like,
it EB's guy that he brought up? I can't
remember. Edwards, no.
Eddie Edwards.
Eddie Edwards was that guy?
Dude, that was fascinating. It was fascinating. I just remember that he had the creeper, the Amber Fry girl, and I remember that he, like... I think he went back on his canoe or something, and he kept checking the site to make sure that the body wasn't floating to the top. So I don't know. That's all I remember. And I remember they busted him at the golf course.
Yeah,
he had just played golf.
La Jolla Country Club.
Yeah. He lied to the cops about 100 times.
Yeah.
Cakes, did you finally?
He changed his appearance. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Cakes,
did I what? Did you finally finish Dexter? It's been put on pause while Juliet's at College Park. Yeah, I'll finish it like at Thanksgiving.
You just want to watch it with her, right? You don't want to watch it by yourself.
Correct.
Right. I get it. My daughter was asking
his favorite child.
My daughter was asking.
Incorrect.
Me,
that is just.
No,
that
we know clearly it's his favorite.
Right. It
clearly,
is.
I know. It's so obvious.
I know.
Conjecture.
Yeah. Did I call that?
I hope your poker face is better at MGM than it is.
Right.
On the Zoom.
Right.
The Poker Ambo has an amazing poker face.
Valdez, I just
Thank
want
you.
Credit for that one, because I nailed it.
You sniff that out.
Yeah, favorite kid.
And then we put all the
people. Do you have one?
All this is a bunch of malarkey from all of you. All of you.
It's a bunch of Mike malarkey.
A bunch of that, yeah.
I need a new show to watch with my daughter, though, with my 17-year-old, because we finished Dead. What is it? Dead to Me or whatever? Whatever it's called. Dead
what about
to
Cobra
me?
Kai?
I can't do it. I can't do it. Do you guys have any good suggestions?
I watched the first episode of Away. That's the new show on Netflix with Hilary Swank, and she's on a mission to Mars.
Is that good?
Not-sized.
It's pretty good. It's a drama. It's got some family elements to it.
She might like that.
Well, I'm presently watching a show that EB would hate its guts. It's called The Boys on Amazon Prime, and it's about a bunch of evil superheroes.
Oh,
he would hate its guts so
much. What about the Kevin Costner one that everyone raves about? Yellowstone. Yeah. Is that a good one, you think?
It's
people rave about that show.
Western.
We almost went down the Breaking Bad highway. We were just, and I was like, "Well, everyone says it's the greatest show ever. Maybe we should watch this." 10 years later,
I thought I heard Yellowstone has a lot of skins hitting in it.
Oh, I don't want that. Just makes it uncomfortable. I mean,
yeah, you can't watch that.
Is there a lot of skins hitting?
Yeah, but that's on regular TV.
So they can't be showing that much.
There was a lot of allusion to that in Dead to Me. Hit me up on Twitter, EB Junkies, and let me know, is it going to be awkward watching it with my 17-year-old daughter?
I remember there's a lot of nudity from what I've seen.
In Westworld?
No, Yellowstone.
In Yellowstone, whatever it's called. Yeah, Yellowstone. Yeah.
Like a lot of booty shots of this girl walking around. I think she's topless.
Booty shots.
Really? They do that on, what's the network that it's on?
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
I think it's on Paramount.
It is?
Yeah, Paramount.
Oh, okay.
All right, coming up next, we're going to connect with Mike Rizzo as we go in the clubhouse with the Nats GM here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.